Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, February Fanny, the podcast up for the final time this February pits two movies with something in common picked by fans of the show and puts them in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. This week, in the red corner, James Cameron tries to out-Bond Bond as Arnie Super Spy takes on some pesky terrorists while trying to save his marriage. Cue sexy hotel room dancing in 1994's True Lies. While in the blue corner, a movie more famous for what happened behind the scenes as Brangelina is born before our very eyes when husband and wife assassins take a domestic argument to a whole new level in 2005's Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Let's face it, Harry, the vet gets him wet. But it's not enough. If you really want to close escrow, well, you got to have an angle.
Suppose you have an angle.
It's killer. I mean, look at me. I'm not that much to look at. No, I can be honest. But I got them lining up. And not just the skanks either. Well, some are.
So what's the angle?
Oh, no. Sorry. Trade secret.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. There were times I just wanted to kill her. But,
likewise.
Couldn't take the shot.
That's a good sign.
Who would have
thought?
Sometimes
you have to battle through.
That's marriage, right?
Yeah, you take your best shot.
So it's a messy marriage melee this week, but which film will be victorious? Let's find out. Welcome to Clash of the Titles, Final February Fanny.
Release the Kraken.
Hello, Clashbudders. Cairo was a day at the beach compared to this. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crumpton.
I'm Chris Tilly.
And as I said, welcome to the final February of 2023. February Fanny.
What did it used to be called? February? No, that was January. Sorry.
What it does is rhymes with January.
Yeah. So,
but we changed it to fan. So Fanuary.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Can't do farch.
That was going to be my next question. Well done, you've got ahead of me. Is there any interest in doing farch?
Well, we're accidentally doing listener suggestion next week.
Oh, is it a listener suggestion?
Yeah.
So we are doing 1 week of farch.
We are.
Great. Great. That's brilliant. Right then. So the clue I gave. Oh, sorry. Before we get to that, who do we have to thank for this final February Fanny of 2023? This listener pairing of True Lies versus Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Two lovely listeners. Anthony Rose sent this in, I think maybe the year before last year. But this time it was Rob Lawson who writes, "Hi, Clash Podders. Love the podcast as it makes my commute to work enjoyable. And I love the back and forth between the hosts and the passion they all share for movies. May I please put forward for your consideration True Lies versus Mr. and Mrs. Smith, purely because True Lies is finally readily available on Disney Plus, and I'd love to hear Alex, Vicky and Chris talk about it. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of works as a pairing, as it's spies living secret everyday lives. Keep up the amazing work and brilliant content, Rob."
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
That's great. So
Back to what I was just about to say. The clue I gave on last week's show was too bloody easy, as is the assessment.
Yeah, no, at the time you said it was clever, I think is what you said. It's clever.
But I thought it might lead us down some sort of like, mistrust about a fact. But I mean, that is it. Yeah, fine, it was too easy. So, Chris, you followed it up on Twitter with what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah, sure.
You've told them the films.
Sure. So, the guessers were pretending to be something they're not on our Twitter, at ClashPod. If you want to give us a follow, we are at ClashPod on Instagram and TikTok as well. And if you're in the business for a little extra clash of the visual variety, completely free of charge, why not check out our YouTube channel? So, correct guesses. Well done to everyone. Just everyone. everyone. But because I do this, I have to name check. Russell, Danny Baker, Andrew Logan, Russ, Peter White, Sam from Smash Mind and Body.
Yay!
Ryan D, Simon McAllister, Tibbs and Matt T. But the man who won it with the first correct guess this week, long-time listener and multiple winner, Robert Farley, he got in there first. Congratulations, Robert. Your prize is a sexy hotel dance from one of us. I'll leave you to decide who, but know that Chris has some sweet, sweet moves.
The robot.
The robot.
It's great, though.
But fine.
I mean, I'd want to see Chris in his underwear doing the robot.
Actually, I think I would. Yeah.
That could be arranged.
Take it off. Take the T-shirt off. Shave your chest. Shave it. Get rid of some of the hair. Do the robot slower. More slower. Lie down. I don't just like to watch. Right then, connections section. Take your wedding ring off and put it back on.
Are you a lady spy? That means your cover is always sex adjacent.
Tango.
The tango, yeah.
It takes two films to tango.
People being hit with phones in hotel rooms.
Yes!
Yeah. Little Adam Brody gets one round the face,
does,
and obviously Arnie gets one.
How
your colleagues sorting your tickets and receipts for your cover.
Yeah.
Motormouth sidekicks.
Sexist best friends. We look at them in different ways there. See, that's the difference between me and you.
Sure.
Gibbon, Ed, Eddie hate women. They really hate them.
Eddie doesn't mind his mum. He likes his mum. Weirdly using old jobs to talk about how bad a current situation is. In True Lies, Paxton's line, Kyra was a day at the beach compared to this. And Vince Vaughn's line in True Lies is, you remember Canada? That were kids' stuff compared to what you're up against.
Okay. Fine. Computers. Arnie's a salesman and Angie and Johnny's in tech support. It's just one of those things you can just say, oh, I do that.
I do computers.
Yeah, and that's fine.
No one knows.
That's it.
Yep, I got no more. Yeah. Sure. All right, then. Well, on Thursday, Chris will be seeing if Mr. and Mrs. Smith is the pits or jolly good fun. All right.
That's nice.
I took a day off after that. Which means today, V is going to tell true lies, whatever the hell that means. V, take us on a journey.
If you find out your wife is having an emotional affair because you're physically distant, you could talk about it and work towards a more honest future, or you could frighten her into stripping for a stranger, whichever. Like in True Lies, the story of Helen, the bravest woman and most gaslit woman you know, who's bold enough to ask for what she wants and ultimately rescues her husband's failing career by stepping into her power and becoming the most promising spy in the business. When we meet Harry, he's totally ballsed up an operation and has nearly been killed over it. The man's on the edge, smacking dogs and trying to make horses commit suicide. He's also got a neat line in wholesale lying to his wife, and then getting all mad with any other man who also lies to her. But that's okay, because his crapness at being both married and a spy will all be sorted when he recruits Helen to the agency and she flips his sadistic mental torture roleplay thing into basically saving the goddamn world. I see you, Harry, and your little tidbits of excitement, the crumbs from your big boy table, and I'll raise you. You're nothing without me. You're only in this mess because your attempt at a covert op ended in you blowing the place to smithereens and the bad guys tracking you down immediately. If you could stop manning all over the place, maybe we could actually get some work done. Lastly, just because I don't recognise you at all in silhouette does not give you the right to coerce me into sex, yes? I have a bit of coffee.
Wow. Do you have a theme tune for when you drink coffee?
And it also sounded weird, like the Indiana Jones theme. Coffee now.
Indiana Jones, us.
I'm so excited because I love this film. I'm just going to do that now. And watch me as I twist myself into mental loops trying to justify why it's fine.
Okay. That is not what I expected.
No, of course it's not. I've loved it a long time. And so, right, I'll just do this. When I was writing the notes, I was like, oh, my history of this film. Fully ready to go, oh, student house, heavy rotation. And all of that is true.
Right.
But then as I was doing some research, I saw a drawing of Jamie Lee Curtis in her dress in the hotel. And I just had this like out of body memory experience. I was very young when I saw this film.
You saw a drawing?
Yeah, someone done an illustration of it.
Where?
What?
On an article.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Why is that a big deal?
It's just very strange.
Yeah.
Someone did an illustration.
I don't know. I thought maybe one of the kids had sellotaped it to the fridge. I'm like, why are they watching this?
No, did I tell you when the middle one went through a phase of drawing Princess Leia with her boobs?
You did.
Yeah. I found that really hard to deal with.
She
stopped doing it. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm sure that will come back.
He's discovered porn.
Yeah, can you imagine?
That's what we said, though. You were asking what we thought would happen. We said he'll stop. He won't go on forever. Yeah.
Anyway, God, that's weirded me out. All right, so anyway, I was very young when I saw this, and I think it like, either messed me up sexually or it sort of contributed to my development at the time, because that dance, like Jamie Lee Curtis doing that dance, all I remember thinking is like, do I want that? Do I want to be that? Do I want both of these things?
Mm.
And all the fantasy stuff, like I think it skewed some fantasy stuff and some sort of ideas of what men can do or can be. And it's like, you can't trust him. That's hot. He's not who he says he is. That's very hot. So,
How young are we talking here?
Like 14.
Okay, yeah, that sounds
so
about right.
So it's just done something wrong in there. Or not wrong, or helped me along my way. Anyway, so 14, probably it was on video. Who knows when? But anyway, I've seen it about a million times since then.
Wow.
However, I haven't seen it since I was about 22.
Okay.
So I love it.
I mean, that dance, it's the bit I remember. Mm. And about the only bit I really remember from this film. And it was because, like, Jamie Lee Curtis went from, oh, I don't fancy Jamie Lee Curtis, to Jamie Lee Curtis may be the hottest woman in the world in one dance.
Yep. It's just, I've got a lot to say about it. I mean, obviously, it is sexist, some of this film. But I've got a really good theory that gets me out of jail as to why it's fine.
Okay.
And it works. So
sure. Look
forward to that.
I can't wait.
When did you see it?
I saw it. I remember it like the billboards were everywhere. Just like Arnie's massive face. And those two words, Schwarzenegger, Cameron. And you're like, I am so in for this. I eventually saw it when it came out on video. And I was unimpressed.
No.
I just remember going, I don't know why I don't like this. It just didn't do it for me. And I didn't know why. It's Schwarzenegger, it's Cameron, it's action. But I just didn't tick any boxes for me. So this is the first time I've watched it ever since I was about 14, 15 years old, maybe
Wowzers.
A little bit younger. And it's just netted of all...
That's confused me. I thought you watched this sort of once every 3 weeks.
Right, because it feels like it should be.
Yeah.
It feels like
that's
that
weirded
movie.
Me out.
Yeah, but no, this is the Cameron movie that I don't have a lot of love for.
Wowzers. What Chris? About you?
Went to cinema to see it, obviously. Loved it. Horse in Lift. Harrier Jet, Jamie Lee Curtis,
mm-hmm.
dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly remembered that.
Yeah.
Formative.
Yeah.
Formative to my young mind.
No? To your sexual mind or to your storytelling mind? Or
no. The woman from Trading Places and Halloween, like doing that.
Yeah.
And then I watched it probably about 10 years later and did no like it.
Yeah.
Because suddenly that scene made me uncomfortable in a way that I wasn't. All I was thinking about was what can I see? When I watched it when I was in the cinema, but now it was like, this is making me feel really creeped out.
And then since we started doing this podcast, I've always said I wanted to do True Lies because it's one of those films that I think I love. And then you were like, you won't like it. You haven't seen it for ages. You won't like it anymore. And I was a bit nervous and I get it. I get why I shouldn't like it. And it is going to embarrass me to try and justify it. But what can you do?
I honestly cannot wait.
Yeah. So that 45 minutes in the middle, I really didn't like when it's all about him being cruel to his wife. And then, you start thinking about the terrorists and who they are in the film. You're like, I just don't like this film.
I think I'm protected from it because I'm not in love with Arnold. Like, I'm just not. So I find it easy to criticise his technique, if you like. So it's an easier win for me because I can go, well, this is the theory. If he was someone else, it would be fine. And because it's him, you get away with it because he's not a man of nuance, is he? So
right.
Anyway.
So when I watched it 10 years later, I thought, this film is rotten to the core. I don't like it. Never going to watch it again unless I start a podcast about movies.
I start a podcast. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
No, I join. I start.
And I didn't join it. I started it. And then, and also, it's the only James Cameron movie, I think, that doesn't feel like a James Cameron movie. I feel like a lot of people could have directed it. It just doesn't feel like him at all. And I guess partly because it's a comedy and I never think of comedy when I think of him. So, yeah, I just all of that made me, yeah, just I was done with this one.
It's weird, isn't it? Because he's the master of action. And I honestly don't think this has any memorable action in it.
Yeah, because the reason you don't like it, if this is all right for me to say, is because what they've done is they've gone, oh, what if Bond was American and he had a family? Mm. And then what they've done is they've told the story of keeping the family together rather than him doing a big mission and the family's like adjacent to that story. They've leaned fully into the family side of it and there's some action sprinkled throughout it. But they haven't gone, oh, if Bond had a family. Like, it could have been, like, a big budget, like, what's that thing that came out recently? Like, Nobody. He's got the family, but he's got to do the mission. Whereas this is, he's doing a mission, but the family is the A story.
Is that right,
Alex? The B story.
Is that right?
Sure, that's exactly what I thought. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's, is that not right?
That's it.
You can take a break now.
Yeah, cool. You've done me for this episode.
But I'm asking you. I'm not telling you.
I think as a kid, the minute where it goes into this whole subplot about her having the secret affair or not having the affair with Simon, Bill Paxton's character, I'm sort of like, where's the action?
That's what I just said.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is kind of, yeah.
All right, well then you're right. Well done, you know me too well.
I can see right through you.
I'll tell you about it, shall I? Mm. So it's based on the French comedy La Totale! Exclamation point. That's important because it's a comedy.
Yeah, in which a normal-looking bloke is a spy.
Yeah, yeah.
Much, much more. Already a better film.
I haven't seen it. I say this with love. It looks very French.
Yeah. Yeah, I just watched the trailer. I watched the trailer and, yeah, I mean, it's obviously the part of the problem with this film is Arnie's supposed to be unbelievable as a spy.
That whole opening
And then,
scene.
As you said, his wife's supposed to not recognise him in silhouette. The most recognisable silhouette in the world.
A giant.
Apart from Danny DeVito. Which is why that film Twins work.
This is where it all falls apart, though. Because from that very opening scene when he's walking around the party, he's meant to be undercover. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you get to do that once.
Yeah.
And then you can never do another mission because people go, it's the massive guy.
They lean into
it's him. It's the guy. It's him.
To be fair, they lean into it by him walking to the party and saying hello to everyone and making sure he's centre of attention. So they're like, we're not even going to pretend
that he's sneaky.
Yeah.
I mean, it is ridiculous. Obviously, the whole thing is ridiculous. And having just slacked you off for saying it's not like your favourite James Cameron film, I do forget it's a James Cameron film, in fairness. Mm. Like, as many times
it's
as
the
I've
only
seen
one
it.
Of his films that I think a lot of other people could have directed, whereas almost every James Cameron film, only he could have made.
It's a film where you suddenly realise James Cameron, with all due respect, one of the great directors, perhaps comedy isn't his thing.
Of course.
I mean, it's so broad and so childish.
You've got a slapstick comedy, you ain't going to Jim Cameron or Chris Nolan, are you? No. There's certain people you're like, Michael Haneke, probably not as well. Just
No. But also, because I think of this film as like almost fully erotic, and I don't think of James Cameron in that way.
No.
Like, Avatar isn't that for me, although it is for some people. So
you think of this film as fully erotic?
I actually do, yeah. I know it's not. I know it's a broad comedy. But when I think about it, my brain goes, it's an erotic film. Because I was 14, I was like, oh my Christ.
I think we're finding out so much more about you on this episode than we ever have before.
All right. And we've only just started.
Your transparency, I'm loving.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
It's a safe space, isn't it? This is a private conversation, no?
Sure.
Yeah, so it's fine.
Your kids will never hear this.
So anyway, then, right.
Suddenly, Princess Lit with boobs is so far down the scale. In the Crompton household, that is not the biggest issue we have to deal with.
This is the only episode we're going to have to take down in like 10 years' time.
Yeah.
A little email from Vicky. Guys, just had a re-listen. Can we delete True Lies?
True Lies is the most erotic film ever made.
Kids, the film is called True Lies. I was doing a gag. I was lying all the way through.
Okay, so anyway, after Terminator 2, so James Cameron, he negotiates this deal for himself, doesn't he? And he facilitates this like enormous level of power.
Mm.
He gets his own, he sets his own VFX company up and he gets his distribution deal, which means he's got right of approval up to $70 million. Mm. So
retains copyright, doesn't he?
Yeah.
For the characters and the story. And he gets to sell international distribution rights, at least initially. That's supposed to be the deal. But then his own company has to pay for overruns.
Right.
Right.
Which is obviously an issue with a James Cameron film. That's a weird contract for him to sign.
I suppose, yeah.
The man that overruns on every film but will pay for the overrun.
You're looking at everything and you're like, well, I just won't overrun anymore. Yes. So I'll just be better at my schedule.
He does.
So then I read, and I've never heard this before, but Chris, you might know this. He was going to do something smaller, this drama called Crowded Room. I've never heard of it. But anyway, he doesn't. And he wants to do something a bit more populist because, you know, you don't want to mess up that deal. So anyway, just context in terms of like where we were in the world. As you've mentioned Bond already, it's 1994. There has been no Bond since License to Kill. Mm. GoldenEye still a year away. So Arnold Schwarzenegger tells Jim Cameron about La Totale! Exclamation point. And they want to do this American Bond and one who has to come home to the family. La Totale is a comedy, but they can chuck a ton of like James Cameron style action in and lean into the Bond stuff that, you know, us as a global audience had not had for a while. And that's kind of it. So I didn't know this. Jamie Lee Curtis won a Golden Globe for her performance, and good for her. I just did not know that. Hmm. Arnold wasn't keen on her at first because he knew her dad, but okay. And yeah, thank God for her. I think without her, this is a bad film, just through and through.
It depends who else. I mean, wasn't Jodie Foster considered for it? But then,
are you joking?
No, shit. Did you not read? There was a huge list.
No, I didn't. Sometimes I don't read this because I think it's. But yeah, tell me.
I think people just sort of go. Oh, just,
Jodie Foster. What, coming off Silence of the Lambs was going to strip. Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Or it might have been Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's definitely one of these movies.
And it was nominated for an Oscar for Best Visual Effects. Arnold nearly got killed on a horse, but we'll talk about that later. Mm. So the main theme of this is going to be, is it sexist, even misogynistic? I mean, I didn't think so when I was a teenager, but then I was an idiot when I was a teenager.
Sure, you're not looking at it with those eyes, are you?
No, you're not. Because
you were looking at it with a child's eyes, and also the world has changed a lot. And I think the answer is...
And also, those weren't conversations. It's not like I wasn't brought, I don't know, I was brought up in around strong women and all the rest of it. But it's not like we all sat around and critiqued like gender roles or the male gaze or anything when I was 14. Was all to come.
You were a child.
I was a child.
But these conversations were happening when this film came out.
Yes.
There was a lot of criticism. James Cameron, various defamation groups and religious groups and things were saying this is bad and you need to put disclaimers on this and you need to apologise for this. So the conversation was happening at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Which is actually quite heartening because it's so tempting to think that when you grow up, everyone, like, no one knew anything before you did kind of thing. And then you read all the reviews of the time, like, this is sexist. And it's like, oh, good. Okay.
I've got a very grim quote, which I'll save till we get there, from Mr. James Cameron about the sexism in the movie.
It's the one psychological torture scene in the cell where he's got his wife and he's breaking her. She is crying. Yeah. And at that point, you just sort of go, How is this ever okay?
The script is so mean there because she's confessed everything. She said what she wanted. It's very hard to ask for what you want. And he hears it all. Then he's like, but did you sleep with him? And it's like, dude, please listen to your
Give
wife.
It a rest.
I guess the other headline though about this film is it was the most expensive movie ever made.
Oh, was it? Was it 100 million?
The first movie that cost more than 100 million.
Yeah, yeah. He'd already made the most expensive film, Terminator 2. Yeah. And then this cost more than that. So.
Oh, yeah. But it did well, did it not?
It did. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was like the third biggest success. Film of the year.
It made like four times that. So it was a huge success.
All right, then. So let's talk about it, shall we? Yes, good. All right, brilliant. So we're at a swanky party and it's in a made-up location in Europe. Hooray, brilliant. Arnold is Bond, that's great. I don't care who he is. I don't care what he wants. I don't know who Harry Tasker is. It doesn't matter because a man in a tuxedo is bluffing his way into a party and speaking many languages and kind of being charming. I don't find Arnold Schwarzenegger charming.
He doesn't just speak Arabic, does he?
No, he speaks perfect Arabic.
I've never seen that in a film.
I know.
The subtitle comes up.
Yeah.
Perfect Arabic.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, we'll let that man be the judge of that.
Yeah.
And he probably is. Let's be honest. He probably isn't. But
how about the name? I mean, you know,
I love it.
You know, you're a fan of
Does
a name.
Get shit on.
He performs tasks. He's Harry Tasker.
I can't. Is Tasker a name?
And he's got lovely hair. Nah, doesn't really work.
No.
When he goes in and greets everyone by name and they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I did that once to Bill Nye.
What do you mean?
Kind of guy. I just went, oh, hi, Bill. Nice to see you again. Yeah. I'd never met him.
And did he say hello?
Yeah. We stopped for a chat with me.
Yeah. Because human beings, you're just like, oh, okay. That's cool. And these people meet a lot.
Well, you played on his politeness. Congratulations.
I said, oh, hi, Bill. I didn't say hi, Bill. I said, hi, Bill. I visited the set of Shaun of the Dead. This was about 2 years after. And he said, oh, great, nice to see you again. Which is exactly what I wanted. And then we were off to the races, even though he wasn't there that day.
Oh, brilliant. So weird. Did you steal from him? I don't understand.
No, but I told him my brother was an actor who was sort of struggling a little bit. And then Bill Knight
ran for his life.
And he said, bring him over. And he had a half-hour chat with my brother, and he was really encouraging, gave him loads of advice, and he was lovely.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Oh, that's good to hear. I always hope Bill Knight is a good person.
And now my dad plays in a band with Bill Nye's brother.
Does he?
Yeah, the golf club.
All from that one lie.
Well done, Greg. Just helping the Tilly family, helping the men of the Tilly family.
Yeah. Good Samaritan.
Hello, men. Hello, brother. Hello, dad. What do you know from Bill Nye?
What can I get you? What can I get from him?
So let's just call it what it is. You lied to a man and now have lots of advantages from lying to a man.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Great.
My mum went home with him.
As she should. With no disrespect to your father.
Wow.
All right. So anyway, so it's all good. Right. Arnie's in the party. It's fine. I'm watching Bond. I like that. So then he tangles with Tia Carrera, who's a mysterious and sexy art dealer. Brilliant. And that tango makes him invisible to security agents.
Which it shouldn't, because he's so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, making that man dance.
Yeah.
So this is where the weirdness starts, though. And it's always... The dialogue when they're in the truck and Faisal is trying to download the files of all the phrases that you're like, well, he could say anything. He's like, oh, I just need a little bit longer. I'm just getting the files. He says, I got my hand up a dress and I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Why?
Yep. Why? I think it's just 90s. Mm. I don't know. I don't think Faisal is that person because he. I like that he gets his moment at the end. He seems like quite sweet, but seems inexperienced. It's his first job and all the rest of it. He's banting kind of thing with Gib, who's played by Tom Arnold, but it's just a bit like, ugh, don't do that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And then what does Tom Arnold say about the tango? Ditch the bitch.
Ditch the bitch.
So within the space of 2 minutes, you're like, what is happening?
Yeah, I know. It is really hard. All that happens when I'm watching stuff like that, because I love it, is I just don't hear it.
Right.
Which is, I know it's bad.
It is.
It's funny though, watching this now, and obviously Jamie Lee Curtis, as you said, won an award for it, and I'm sure we're going to talk about how good Bill Paxton is. But I remember at the time, the big story was, guess what? Tom Arnold's a movie star. Tom Arnold is the funniest thing you're going to see this year in a movie, and him and Arnie are going to make films together forever. And it was like this. And I watch it now, I'm thinking, what was everyone think? What was everyone on?
Yeah, it's weird.
Come on.
I've read a lot of reviews of this week, and people just fucking hate Tom Arnold so much.
Oh, really?
They're just like, you know, it's saying something. I love this movie, and Tom Arnold doesn't completely fuck me off for it.
Well, he was hated at the time. He went into this film being, you know, one of the least liked celebrities in America because everyone saw him as someone who just had a career off the back of marrying Roseanne Barr and then sort of half destroying her career by insisting on becoming a writer on the show Roseanne and starring in the show Roseanne. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you like him in this?
I don't mind him in this.
I think it's fine.
I mean, you need that running commentary, I guess. It's that kind of film where you need someone who is commenting and making jokes about what we're seeing, and he's fine.
And he's meant to be a sad sack, isn't he? Like, the comment from Faisal, I don't like. I think Faisal's supposed to be a good person.
Mm.
But Gib is meant to be a loser. All these women keep leaving him, you know, and he's there so that Arnie's like, I don't want to become you kind of thing.
Yeah. I think in both these films, it reflects badly on our hero that his best friend is so awful.
Is a douche. Yeah.
I mean, Gib's obsessed with his best friend's daughter's virginity. See, I'm showing you the door, man. If you keep talking about my daughter's virginity and asking me if I think she's a virgin, it's like, what are you talking about?
But then
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
When he's like, oh, she's stolen that money to save up for an abortion. That did make me laugh. So
I know, but I just don't think you'd let your, if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you ain't letting your friend say that.
No, you don't talk about people's kids like that.
I think the reason he comes across well is when you've got actual scripted lines, like, I got my hand up a dress and I'm going for it. Anything Tom Arnold does that is improvised and off the cuff somehow seems a lot more spontaneous and natural and adds a bit of levity to otherwise quite boring action scenes.
Yeah.
Like kissing the lamppost after he gets set, after he hides behind, little things like that that you know were improvised at the time.
Yeah.
I think I really enjoy those moments.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a big fan.
Okay, all right. We'll go back to Suburbia, but after a short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All right, so Arnold has escaped. He's off back home because his cover is as a salesman. He does actually love his family. This is important when we're talking about Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That's not part of his cover. He does love his family. But despite that, he isn't very present and he's not listening and he's no idea what his daughter is up to. The daughter character, like, she's on a motorbike at 14, and obviously there's a lot of, like, commenting about, you know, her accelerated maturity, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But to me, am I, like, a helicopter parent? Like, on a motorbike at 14? Like, absolutely not. Like, absolutely not. Not ever.
Yeah, and also I think it's quite lazy because what was Jim Cameron's last movie? Terminator 2. It's John Connor, but a different sex. The way she dresses, the motorbike. She's obviously sort of got a grunge thing going on.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we'll just transplant that character.
That's so true.
Just to give Tom Arnold his due as well, when he sees her in the helmet for the first time, I remember the first time I was shot out of a cannon. Funny line.
It is funny.
Funny line.
So anyway, it turns out there are some shady goings on involving Juno. She's meant to be importing, I think, stealing artifacts. That's another conversation that's changed over the years. She's like, I just took these from ancient Persia. It's like, you can't do that. Like, what, you paid someone and you've appropriated their artifacts. Mm. That's not very good. So that's modern day Iran, Iraq and Syria. But then an underling slaps her And it's generic Muslim terrorist Salim Abu Aziz, played by Art Malik. This is also of its time.
And I also think this is a problem for later in the film, where she comes across, they're trying to set Juno up as quite a strong, independent villain who's doing it for the money.
Yeah.
But if this bloke's slapping her stupid, she's not that strong and independent.
I think
it messes with her storyline later on.
Well, because there's a moment later on where you think, what's going to happen is she's going to turn, because a man, Arnold, says to her, why are you working for these people? Because he could say, he's horrible, you know, he's slapped you across the face, whatever. And that doesn't come to fruition, which is a bit of a shame. She could have had a moment where she's good right at the end, maybe. Anyway, so, well, let's lean into this whole idea that Harry and Gibb are fucking rubbish at being spies, because they're followed by Aziz's henchmen, and they're nearly killed almost immediately. But it doesn't matter, because then we get a massive chase involving a horse.
Horse in a lift.
Through a hotel.
Brilliant.
In which he gets in a lift. Brilliant. And then he tries to leap across the rooftop on a fucking horse. Also brilliant.
Obviously.
Just brilliant.
Obviously, there's some moments where it doesn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger on the horse. Is it a stuntman wearing an Arnie mask? That's what it looked like to me, but it's so fast at the flash of it.
I mean, everything you read, he's like, I'm always on that horse. But then that's what he's like, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's not him.
It's very hot. There are moments where he looks a bit lighter. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. He looks lighter and his face looks distorted.
His face looks entirely different.
It looks like a different man.
Yes.
Now you
because it is a different man. Unless Arnie goes, I don't want to take all the credit, so I'll put a mask over my own face and ride the horse.
Because now you would just obviously digitally do that. Yeah. But yeah, I just wondered. It did look to me like, do they have Arnie masks on this set?
And it does not look like Art Malik on that motorcycle as well. Because obviously not everyone has Art Malik's forehead and hairline. You're looking at someone who's got a prosthetic forehead to make themselves look like Art Malik.
Yeah.
The one-liners, though, the fight in the urinal, and he says to him, here, cool off. That feels like not top tier.
Are they ever? Can I ask an honest question? Are they ever top tier?
Yes.
Like, yes. Come up. We've done Commando. You know that they're
Predator.
Top tier.
Stick around. Fucking brilliant. That's a good one.
That's true.
You're fired. You always judge a movie on the final one-liner.
Yeah.
And you're fired. He's not employed as what? What is he fired from?
Such a good point.
He says to Gibb, get to the car. Is that a Predator homage, do you think?
I'm sure he says, get in the chopper as well.
Right.
Yep. Does he?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, we're rehashing Predator lines. That's the level of this script.
I don't think we've got time. Right, okay, let's crack on. I meant to say, so just a bit of trivia. When they were doing the horse thing, they're filming it, they build a ramp on the edge of the building, but it's not obviously a real building. The horse gets freaked out and is uncontrollable, and they nearly go off the edge of the ramp and he nearly died. Well, he would have
imagine
been very seriously.
Imagine if he died doing a stupid stunt like this.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what did he say? He said he managed to slip off the horse at the last minute. I think it was hit by a camera boom or something, or
and
startled.
It freaked out,
And he slipped off the horse and he was rescued by a stuntman. A stuntman grabbed him before he went off the edge, and he's like, that's why I always like stuntmen.
Yeah, maybe don't like this one.
Because he looks nothing like him.
Nah,
yeah.
This guy's a baddie.
All right, so anyway, let's get into the real plot, because this is what I think the real plot and the full credit for this film should
well,
go
it's to. Not it's not Crimson Jihad.
No.
Or the sand spider.
That's a funny line.
Why do they call him that? Probably because it's scary. Actually a good line.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a good line.
So Harry finds out that Helen is having an affair, or so he thinks. And it is an emotional affair, I'd say, but she hasn't. I mean, later on, you find out they're not set together. So then Gibby's all like, oh, welcome to the club. And then his ex took the ice cube trays. And then you know this story that famously or not, he was going around telling everyone that Roseanne Barr took the ice cube trays. And who would do that? To which I reply, I would. Because I love ice and you're not keeping my ice cube trays,
but
Tom.
But surely you're moving into a...
No. I've got special ice cube trays.
Oh, okay. And why are they special?
I think you've drunk from... Not from them. The
oh,
ice
the
from,
massive
the
ones! Right.
I could see him drinking from the ice cube tray. End of a long night.
I don't give anyone water when they come out of my...
They're those massive lumps of ice.
Yeah, yeah. I've got one that's in the shape of the Death Star.
Oh, that's nice.
Like,
but I would leave that. I don't want that. Anyway, okay, so where are we? Harry's found out Helen's having an affair. She lies about her day. This I found difficult. I think I found it difficult at the time, and I can't excuse this. She's lying about her day, about the excitement she had with the photocopier and all the rest of it. And his face, he's like, I'm going to fucking murder you because you're lying to me. And it's like, you dare. You lie to her every minute of every day.
He's like, not cheating on her, though. He thinks she's cheating on him. He's got a job that requires him to keep it a secret, probably for her safety, because if people knew that he was married and had a family, they would use that family against him.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of lie. Having a sexual affair with someone, I think, is different.
But they also put out the contradiction with Harry saying to Gibb, I could never lie like that.
Yeah.
When obviously it's literally his job.
So this, let me do my theory now, right? Okay. If it wasn't Arnold, and it's great that it's Arnold because it's an action film ostensibly and you need all of that. If you had an actor that could show you the layers of a man saying, I couldn't lie like that all day, when all they do is lie all day, it would be, I think you can tell that story where it's like, this is a man that lies all day, cannot bear that his wife is lying to him, and sort of tricks her into this fantasy thing because he cannot tell her that he's pathologically incapable of telling her the truth. So he takes on this wild ride rather than tell her the truth. You need an actor that's like, can show you all those layers. And that this is not Arnold. There's absolutely no way.
I think it's absolutely fine. It's just the sort of torture scene, essentially, is grim and goes on too long. And then the sexual manipulation scene is really grim.
Yeah.
If you can figure them out, then it's actually a fine film, but they're so awful, both those scenes.
I think we have to analyse the fact that there are different scales of lying. Like, a lie is not just a lie. Lie, people have different reasons.
I think
potentially her lie, as far as he's concerned, obviously she hasn't, or she's having an emotional affair, but she's certainly not slept with someone else. I think that rates higher than his lie.
Yes.
The thing is, and he doesn't know this, so it's kind of fine, she knows she hasn't slept with Simon, so she's lying about what she's done that day. When he's on his job, he's tangoing with Tia Carrera, right? That's something. That's a thing, right? So, I mean, she has
to hide from security. He's not doing it for the joy of tangoing.
But if he's having a nice time.
If he's James Bond, though, he's sleeping with these women.
Exactly.
Although, is Arnie sleeping with a lot of women?
If it's a task, then
that I must perform. So, anyway, he taps her phone, he bugs her handbag. But, you know, there are other characters telling him, with Gibb, weirdly, that everything he's doing is wrong.
Yep, Gibb is the voice of reason, to be fair. Every time he does something, Gibb says, yeah, sure. He sort of goes along with it, but he's saying what you're supposed to say.
Yes, which is you can't do this, it's not legal, but also you shouldn't do it.
But also Gibb blew a 6-week operation because he was having a blowjob, let's not forget.
Let's not forget that. And also because I think
another classic funny line? Is it? I think. I don't know.
Just don't hear it.
I think it's meant to be a joke.
I think it's meant to be a joke,
because the image that it conjures up of Tom Arnold having a blowjob is just hilarious.
But also, Gibb is like, don't do it, it's wrong. But at some point, he kind of, not chides him, but he's like, to talk about your feelings is feminine. This is of its time, I think. So there is no option for Harry. He can't talk about his feelings because his buddy will be like, don't be such a girl. And yet he can't bug his wife's phone and handbag because it's wrong. So, I don't know, again, a different actor, you could see the conflict within and all the rest of it, but you've just got this big lump sort of doing all that. But again, it's fine.
And also, Arnie doesn't do wrong things because he's Arnie.
So
any decision he makes is the correct decision, and people telling him it's not, they're wrong. And they're just flies buzzing around him while he gets the shit done that needs to be done because it's the right thing to do because he's Arnie.
So then we understand how Helen met Simon. Bill Paxton. I've never forgotten this. Like, what the script does to him is just ridiculous.
It's awful.
Especially when they're butting it again. Like, don't do that. But he's amazing.
Brilliant. He's so good.
Amazing. And this poor woman, though, like, you feel so sorry for Helen. Like, she's being lied to all over the place because Simon's trick is to pretend to be a spy to give the ladies a bit of excitement.
Yeah, and the film could lean into that Simon is a salesman pretending to be a spy and Harry's a spy pretending to be a salesman. Like, that is fun, but I don't think we get enough, especially when Paxton shows up and he's so good.
Yeah.
I almost want some fun stuff between him and Harry, not just the nasty stuff.
In the car,
It's amazing how good Bill Paxton is and how likeable an actor he is, that he gets away with lines like, let's face it, the vet makes them wet.
Yep.
Or describing Jamie Lee Curtis as having the arse of a 10-year-old boy. Yeah. Is that a good thing?
Well, this messed me up when I was younger because that went into my brain. I was like, that must be a good thing. And so for my whole life, I've been like, my arse does not look like that of a 10-year-old boy. So I failed.
The danger here is because you think this is the most erotic film ever made. So you heard that line and went, well, that must be a fact.
This is Vicky's last tango in Paris.
Yeah.
Again, comedy, not Cameron's forte. Hey, I've got this great line. An ass like a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so dodgy. I found that line so confusing when I was young. And I was like, God, men just have everything they want. I don't understand it. But also, I must look like that when I don't look like that. And then hence a lifetime of loathing. Not really.
But I mean, Paxton is such a schlub. Just even the way he eats that burger and he's got sauce around the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
Everything about that performance is perfect.
Yes. Mm. So jumping ahead slightly, Helen is in Simon's safe house, which is a messy caravan.
And actually,
plastic
that's one
glasses.
Wine. They've got the colour of the wine so right.
They have.
I was like, man, that looks like cheap wine.
Cheap ass wine. Yeah.
Is that like a really cheap bottle of wine?
And I did, having watched the trailer for La Totale, exclamation mark.
Yeah.
This whole sequence is taken wholesale from it in terms of what it looks like, where they are, and then how the agents come in and blow the place out. And it's like, yeah, that's copy and pasted, basically.
So he's lying about taking her to Paris. I mean, I love all this because it's... Well, God, I've just realised this is why I love it. So do you remember... We're going to talk about this for the rest of our lives, so I just got to apologise. But, you know, when we did High Fidelity and we were talking about Rob doing the sketch of the sensitive, nervous guy, and then women go, I will sleep with you.
Yep.
So there's something of that here, which is he's not a sensitive, nervous guy, but he's like, I need you. And everyone's like, oh, my God, I feel needed. And it's exciting. And I get to go to Paris and all the rest of it. So I love his performance of that man of like, I feel so awful for asking you and all the rest of it. And then to build to the, if we're going to be husband and wife, we've kind of got to do this thing. It was just the tickets to Paris. He does have tickets to Paris.
Mm.
So has he got like false tickets that he uses all the time?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh, yeah. I was like, has he printed them out? Because they look very authentic.
They look really real. Yeah. But maybe it's worth it if you leave them, you know, if you've got like several women on the go.
Yeah.
I just thought that was quite organised for someone like Simon, who seems a little bit slapdash, but I liked it anyway.
I don't know. I think he's pretty organised. Yeah. He's got this all figured out. This is a hell of an operation.
Yeah.
This is more professional than Harry Tasker's operation, to be honest.
I actually agree with that. In fairness.
Well, yeah, because
Simon is a better spy. Yeah, what Harry Tasker?
Harry's supposed to be going after Crimson Jihad.
Yeah.
Spends a long time on this mission.
And resources. Well,
nukes made it to American soil because he was chasing Simon. Yeah. Otherwise, they'd have been stopped before they entered the United States.
He's forgotten about the sand spider. Yeah. And you should never forget about the sand spider.
It's a scary name like that. Why would you forget?
So Harry and his friends storm the caravan. Now, this is where it gets interesting because then Simon's fantasy is real because of Simon doing what he does to Helen, and eventually because of Simon, Harry will become the man he should have been, which is normal. Do you know what I mean? So it's all in there, but this is just like a big ha 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 fun film, so we don't do the emotional side of that. Like, Helen has got the two men in her life pretending to be normal, pretending to be a spy, will reverse because of each other and because of their connection to her, but we don't really lean into that because we're in a bit of a rush to get to
I would kind of like Simon to become a spy at the end of the film.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Having to work with Harry on something, that would have been fun.
I mean, poor old Helen's going to need therapy for the rest of her life because her trust issues are just going to be off the scale. But
her husband's stalking her and now he's going to scare her?
Yeah,
that's problematic.
But you mentioned this at the start, Jamie Lee Curtis, and how good she is in this film and how this would not be the film it is without her. The first time I actually felt any emotion watching this, because I'm watching it, I'm going, yeah, it's fine. It's the bit where he's got her in that room and he's like, do you still love your husband?
Yeah.
And her delivery of the line, yes, I love my husband. I've always loved him. I always will. I was like, there you go. There's some heart. Now I can be invested in this marriage, in this relationship.
And it is interesting. He's having the conversation with her. He's supposed to have with her as this husband. Do you still love me?
Yeah.
But he's having it through a mirror because he doesn't know how to do that. Yeah. And so that is interesting.
I agree with everything you said. It's just my connection to it. Like, deep, deep love for this film and for Jamie Lee Curtis in this film comes when she gives her big speech about, he's like, why did you do this? Why did you do all of this? And she wanted to feel alive and I wanted to say I fucking did it. And you're like, yes, Helen, like, say what you want. That is hard as shit to do things like that. I do find it a shame that then he's like, but did you sleep with him though? And it's like, that's not the question right now. The question should be, oh my God, Helen, I'm so sorry. Come round the mirror. I've made you feel like shit. But whatever.
That is the question. I mean, from your perspective, I'm sure it's not the question.
It's not.
That is definitely the question. Is the question you need answering.
Is it really?
Yeah, because it changes everything.
Does it? Okay.
Yes.
I guess. I just think it's a very broad populist film thing to do, where he's like, do you love your husband? And she doesn't get to go, well, yeah, but he's doing my fucking head in. Or, yes, of course I do, but I wish he was a bit more present. She has to be like, I love him unconditionally, completely, forever. Like, that's a bit much, do you not think? Given that he has ignored her for years, she's like, I've always loved him, I'll never love anyone else, basically. I think that's having your cake and eating it. Like, why isn't she allowed a response that's like, of course I love him, I do wish he would fucking talk to me though?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, but these marital issues that they're having aren't necessarily because he's a spy. They are just marital issues that people have after, you know, you fall into a routine and he's preoccupied with his job and all the rest of it. So, yeah, sure. I mean, maybe they should both talk. But, I mean, has she... We never know if she's tried to approach him and spoken to him and gone, listen, Harry, we need to sit down and talk about this. It's all like, we made you a cake. Oh, you're not going to be home.
Yeah.
That's a shame, but I forgive you. She never really addresses some of these issues within the film.
Yeah, but you see what I mean, that it's a bit cheeky that when he's like, do you still love him? She gives the most unequivocal answer possible. Mm.
Because she does still love him.
Yeah, which is amazing, really. Yeah. Anyway, so he doesn't tell... Oh, go on.
Well, in terms of the charges of sexism that were levelled at this film at the time, James Cameron said, I don't think every scene in a movie has to present itself as an example of political correctness.
Yep.
That I agree with.
I do.
That's fine. He then adds, actually, I've had a lot of guys say, I need one of those rooms in my house.
Whoa, Jesus Christ. Why can't that's people his, just stop talking? That's his I say that to myself.
His justification for this scene is that lads love it.
Wow.
And it's really great.
The room as in the
two-way mirror so that you can torture your wife.
I think just to backtrack slightly, he means that... He's not advocating having a cell in your house that you lock your wife in when you want to torture her.
I've had a lot of guys say, I need one of those rooms at my house.
Well, I think what they mean is, I'm not justifying that.
You are.
I'm not. I'm
sound just... like Vicky right now.
I mean, it's an erotic film. I can't help myself.
It is.
I think he's not saying husbands should trap their wives whenever the mood takes them.
Okay, I get
right.
it. All right.
All right, good.
Are you okay?
I just
he's flustered, isn't he?
A little bit. That's weird. He's got a big house.
He's got a bit of what is going on?
A subterranean big house.
A big mirror in that bathroom.
Big old mirror in that bathroom. Oh. I thought it was for vanity. Obviously.
Obviously.
It's dual purpose.
All right. So, yeah, he doesn't tell the truth. He recruits her. So we're going to continue this lying. Then it's time to humiliate Simon, which Harry absolutely loves. Does kind of blow Harry's cover, equals what a shit spy.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose Simon is this worm and nothing.
Made him pee.
Him.
I made him urinate himself. It's just gone goes too far in this film. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weirdly, a bit like that quote. He just doesn't know when to stop.
No.
He's like, and then he'll piss himself.
We've got it.
He's just scared and he's trapped in the middle of nowhere.
He's literally just told you he's got a small dick. Yep. He's humiliated enough.
I always find this in films really uncomfortable, because if you were scared, you would wet yourself. It's quite a normal human response. Yeah. And I hate it when films are like, oh, look, you wet yourself. It's like, well, what would you do? Like, you're stood on the edge of a dam or whatever it is. I hate it.
Water-based anyway.
Oh my God, yeah, you're a bit bursted.
Maybe there is some subtext there. The dam has burst.
I just find it really cruel. And I find it like, I hope, James Cameron, that you never piss yourself when you're older, because you've basically gone, I wouldn't do that. And it's like, everybody would do that. And I just don't think it's very inclusive.
Check in with him in 20 years.
Yeah. How's it going down there?
I bet that was an improv line, though, where he sees Harry and he goes, hey, you still interested in the vet? I think that's Paxton doing Paxton.
Yeah. So then Doris gets a call from Boris. Meet at the Hotel Marquee.
Why is that line so funny?
It's really funny. Where she's like, Natasha.
Doris.
Really... Rocky and Bullwinkle, isn't it?
Is it?
Oh, Boris and Natasha are the characters, the villains in Rocky and Bullwinkle. So.
It's very funny. Right, so we're going to spend quite a bit of time here, so get comfy. So she turns up. She's in her sexy dress. It fully covers her. That's her idea of sexy, so good for her. But then she destroys it. She tears the sleeves off and she tears the hem off, and she gets... I mean, I just always found this so brilliant. Like, yes. She finds the water in the bars.
Dirty flower juice. No, I'm not sure. Are we still erotic?
He just likes to watch, so she knows she's not getting close to him.
Do not sniff my hair.
Yeah.
That has been in that vase for 4 days.
Yeah. Flower food, that stuff stinks.
Yeah, mouldy water. Yeah, you're absolutely right. puts a bit more makeup on, standard, back the hair goes. And she seems to be getting into it. So then I'm okay because she seems to be into it. I have conveniently forgot that she's really only there to save her family. So I'm just going to put that to one side. She seems to be having a nice time, right? She has basically been... However, she's been coerced
When is she having a nice time?
I mean,
she's fucking terrified.
It's just, she seems to...
You're laughing because there's some physical comedy, but...
I thought she discovered something about herself that had been buried under her life with Harry.
Yeah, that.
Right.
We get there.
The only trouble is, it comes so quickly after the same kind of thing has happened with Simon and she couldn't do it kind of thing. Uh-huh. So she was only in that caravan like a day ago.
Yeah, but he's like, we definitely need to have sex to convince people that we're man and wife. And this is, she knows for a fact the guy just wants to watch. So in many ways, she's like, I'll do this sexy dance. Oh, I'm enjoying the sexy dance.
I quite like it.
And then I'll be gone.
It's a bit safer. And also, even if she's coerced and scared, she can be a little bit into it because people can be more than one thing. So,
get it on a t-shirt.
I think I might. So anyway, now, again, you've got to like forgive me a bit because I'm just doing my best to make myself feel okay. But the dance, when he says take your dress off, I don't think she wants to take her dress off, to be honest. Like, she doesn't look that chuffed to be like forced to take her frock off. But also, you're going to vomit. It's like, maybe she's just doing that thing where she's like, he might like it if I look a bit scared. People do like
how
that.
Is this the most erotic film for you?
Well, because of the dance in a minute. This bit's just a bit upsetting.
I think she's genuinely scared.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't
look terrified.
Yeah, she's not pretending to turn him on.
No, I mean, we've had nothing establishing her, Helen.
And that doesn't work. Can I write this down? That's not a thing.
She can't see his face and he's just barking orders at her from the shadows.
But he's French, though.
Hot. Hot. Do it. Do it slower.
I mean, come on. Look, listen, would you? You might. Anyway, so,
Chris,
I mean...
take off your T-shirt. No.
Do the robot.
Slower.
Do the robot.
Do the robot.
Faster.
Even faster still. Even faster. Oh, yes.
Oh, no. Oh, don't ruin this. Anyway, right. So where am I?
I've got an image. Quick, make it different.
Okay. All right. Anyway, God. Okay. So she falls over. Right. So
great.
It's brilliant. This is absolutely everything to me. It's everything. Much has been written. Reams have been written about this fall, that it was an improv or a mistake or whatever. And that Arnold Schwarzenegger leans forward to help her because he's an actor. But also Harry is her husband and he's like, oh, shit, you've fallen over. Who knows if that's true? I don't care.
I didn't know that.
The point is, she falls and she's straight back up and carries on and she doesn't break character. So that means she's okay physically, hopefully, that she hasn't like broken her wrist or anything. But it means she's kind of committed to the dance because otherwise this whole thing is too creepy, even for 14-year-old me, even for 41-year-old me. It's just a bit much. But if she's fallen over, she has a chance to go, do you know what, I can't do it. And she's straight back up there on the pole, effectively. And I also think when I was 14, what I was watching was a woman that was sexually confident enough not to laugh and not to give up. And that just really, that just did something to my brain. I was like, that's incredible. I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. That's amazing. Like, she could just be like, oh, I feel really silly now and I don't want to do it. But she's like, no, I've started this thing. I'm going to see it through. I'm not going to let anybody laugh. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah,
that's amazing. Imagine having that skill.
She's found her rhythm because obviously she starts dancing and
she does this.
Yeah, and then he's like, "No, me dance like get your lover's hands on you."
Yeah, so she does,
and she does,
and it's amazing. It's like, is that the first time she's ever done that? She's very good if she's never done it before.
She probably did when Harry and her first met before he broke her.
Yeah, but to not be embarrassed or embarrassable is a little bit, to me, because of my own thing, it's a bit like a superpower. And she has it, and I was always just super jealous.
It's empowering and it's liberating for her as it goes on.
And it rescues the whole film because you are nervous about, oh, you tortured your wife, you did whatever. And it's like, okay, at this point, she's kind of into it, so it feels okay.
It's also massively misogynist.
I know. Yeah, I know. People can be, what? More than one thing.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the film.
No, but I'm reflecting on myself. Anyway, this is a big morning. Okay, so off we go.
It feels creepy, though. Let's just call it that. This scene, I understand for everything you've said, but I walked away this time watching it going, it just feels a bit seedy.
And it's quite a relief when she smashes him with the phone.
Yeah, it is, definitely. Because also, she... He wasn't. This is also weird. Emily just thought of this. He says, "Lie down," and she says, "Oh, I thought you just liked to watch." And he's surprised that she's answered back because he doesn't have something on the tape for her to answer back. That's creepy. And then makes her close her eyes. And this is also upsetting. This is a woman in a situation in which she's probably not entirely comfortable, and yet she does keep her eyes closed. So she must be really scared, because otherwise you'd just have a little peep, wouldn't you, and try and find the exit.
You almost want it to play out without the terrorist coming into the room, just to see whether his plan actually would have worked like he intended.
Yeah.
Like, what was going to happen when she opened her eyes and saw her husband? She was going to be like, "Oh, this is amazing. This is so fucking hot. Let's definitely have sex now. You just made me dance for you.
I love you again.
I love you more.
Did he think it was going to be sexy time?
Yeah, I think he did.
Right, which I'm not sure. I think she'd have been like, "We're getting a fucking divorce."
Yeah, I think he thought it was
going to be sexy time?
Yeah, because when he comes over with the rose, I'm just amazed that he doesn't say, "Open your eyes," because that's a bit much.
If it wasn't going to be sexy time, it was going to be a gag.
Where was he going?
He was going to be like, hey, surprise.
Wasn't it not proof? I guess he already has proof that she is doing stuff behind his back, having found her on top of...
Yeah, no, he knows what
he said is he says to Gib, "I want her to give her a little bit of adventure. It's what she wanted. It's why she sought out Simon. I'm going to give her that, and then we'll definitely have." Oh no, we're not.
I think this was like the end of the game. I give her a bit of excitement. Yeah. I tell her it's me. She's fully into it, so it's fine.
I was scared for my life. So is that sex or no sex?
You like that?
So you're saying there's a chance?
All right. So anyway, but yeah, because Harry is a shit spy again, they're apprehended by the terrorists.
I do like the fact that she thinks she's got him into it. Yeah, that's nice.
Good work, script. So she gets to say, he has nothing to do with it. And I love all of that. She still doesn't get told the truth, which is starting to become a bit frustrating. And then Juno is like fully bad now and destroying these artifacts, because these artifacts have been used as suitcases essentially for nuclear weapons or something.
Yeah, that's how you get nuclear weapons onto American soil.
How'd you get them in the store thing? Whatever.
I really struggle with this bit where they've got them onto one of the keys, one of the Florida keys, and from there, like, it's like, Did no terrorists ever think of this? Like, was this just a really easy way to get nukes?
She's like, "There's no checks and no border control.
There's no borders. No one can stop them driving these to any city they want."
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's a long time ago. I've got no idea.
Now, let's talk about... I really think these terrorists, Cameron needed to pick a lane. Are they a threat, or are they there for us to laugh at them?
Are they there to have
low batteries on cameras and get their balls crushed on the fin of a plane? Or are they a real menace where we're like, "God damn it, Harry, stop these bastards"?
It's caught between being a proper action movie and being Hot Shots and Naked Gun.
Seriously, isn't it?
It's got stuck between those two. And also maybe just make up somewhere that they're from.
Yeah.
Because the fact that he's publicly said, "Oh, they were going to be Irish terrorists," but then I think Blown Away was coming out, so he didn't feel like he could do Irish. So he just changes it. And it's like, well, no thought has gone into this.
But, as in, you mean they're not from somewhere any specific?
Yeah, like, make somewhere up.
They're just from that general region.
Yeah, if you're not going to go into the real detail beyond sort of...
And also his speech... As easy speech is like, "You've terrorised our women and children," and it's like, whose women and children, where and when? Like, that's true of US manoeuvres in the Gulf, but it's like, what particularly pissed you off? Like, give you a bit of context.
But also, I mean, what a statement. "You've terrorised our women and children." Beep, beep. Low battery. Beep, beep. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that's true.
This is like one or the other. You can't have both.
Yeah, that is bad.
And obviously it's a pre-9/11 time, but it's just very uncomfortable. And he ended up having to put, it was the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee was who came after him.
Yeah.
And he ended up putting a disclaimer, I believe, saying that none of the characters in this movie were meant to be representative of any real racial, religious, ethnic or social groups. When it feels like, I think they are.
Right, yeah, I see that now. So anyway, we're into Act 3, so Harry and Helen need to be rescued, but they're further apart emotionally. than ever. And then we give a compulsive liar some truth serum. Hooray!
Fine. Which yep, it's good. I like. It's
good. He tells his torturer how he'll end him and then does that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that a few times, haven't we?
Great.
It's good that we actually get some... this was an R-rated movie, wasn't it? We get some R-rated violence finally here. The chisel in the eye, the meat hook in the chest. Yeah. I'm like, good. Yeah. This is kind of what I turned up for.
I forgot it was... Yeah, it's an 18.
Yeah. No, 15 here, R in US.
So then we've got, now we've put a clock on it, so we've got 90 minutes to save the US or a bit of the US or 12 miles of the US. I'm unclear as to who's in danger.
Yep.
Then we get a bit of fighting and then Helen kills about 20 people. Now, inadvertently, but still, she does kill about 20 people, which makes her more effective than her husband and she's not even trying.
Again, though, it feels like it's from Hot Shots with the gun hitting the steps and firing because it goes on for so long.
Yep. Yeah.
And her reaction and it's just... Yeah, am I watching a spoof? I'm confused.
Yeah, fair enough.
I will say, the terrorists, I've never seen it before, and I'm always into something new in a movie like this, especially one that is playing on such familiar tropes. Burying a nuclear weapon in cement so it can't be dismantled or have the timer shut off. I was like, clever. That's a nice little touch there.
Does that work?
I've no idea.
Okay, need to check.
I'm going to say yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it does.
Yeah. Either that or the cement gets all in the electronics of the nuclear warhead and it just shuts down.
That's also a great point. Wet cement in your circuitry.
But let's play it how the movie intended. Very clever.
Really clever. So Helen thinks Harry's dead, but he's not dead because he's Arnold and he can't die.
He's Rambo.
And then also you notice that there's still 30 minutes of this film to go, so he can't be dead. That was such a shock to me. And it is, I resist thinking, oh, my attention span is shorter than it used to be. But it must be because I've seen this film so many times and it's 2 hours 20 and that's bananas to me now. I would never... voluntarily sit down and watch a film that was 2 hours.
James
20.
Cameron's never voluntarily made a film that's less than 2 hours and 20 minutes. So
I just, anyway, what the fuck. So time for some choppers and some Harrier jets and try and blow up the convoy.
It's good. Good action with those Harrier jets. I like a Harrier jet.
Pretty good, pretty good.
This is a weird moment.
Strafing the 7 mile bridge is fun.
Yeah, but then Harry's in the chopper. And the Harrier jet pilot says to him over the things, over the radio, I hope this won't set off the bombs, what we're about to do. And he goes, yeah, no, definitely won't. And then goes to give us... And he's like, what? Why are you asking him? Like, who is this guy? But also, should you not be certain? I don't know. That, it seemed like a bit of an amateur hour.
Well, you say that. When Harry and Helen kiss, just before the nuclear bomb goes off on the island, Harry actually says, we should... be safe here. Not we are safe here. I'd want confirmation. When you say should, I mean, what are we, 50-50?
It's pretty ballsy to shoot a kiss in front of a nuclear explosion.
Yep. I love it.
No, I'm all power to them. Like, that's something I've not seen before. Let's make nuclear explosions romantic.
Yeah, you're right. So this runaway limo situation, and so Helen is fighting with Juno in the back of the limo. This is all...
Foot in face.
Oh, yeah.
I hated
it. Toe on cheek.
She's got her foot basically in her mouth. The sole of Helen's foot is touching Juno's lip.
Pretty
That's
hot.
That's right.
Pretty
awful.
Yeah.
Gross.
I like the stunt, but it is ridiculous that Helen is in the sunroof, on the sunroof of the car, and is like, Harry, help me! And he's dangling down from the chopper, and it's like, in the amount of time it's taken you to come together and go apart, just hit the fucking brake, Helen. Just lean forward.
You can't get in the front.
Why?
Because they've got the divider. It's a limousine.
Oh, okay, fine. All right. I don't know. It just seemed like a long bridge.
Apparently that is actually Jamie Lee Curtis dangling from the helicopter as well. She refused a stunt double. She was like, I can do that.
Fuck me. I would be like, 100% use a stunt. Are you joking?
I'm not even getting in the limo. Use a stunt double for that.
Yeah.
Really? We need your face. I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a shit. Did you see the dance I just did? I'm done here. So anyway,
that improvised fall. Oh, was it improvised? Because I wrote that in script.
I'll be getting a golden glove for that. So, they embrace by the glare of this deadly mushroom cloud, which I like. False end. Anyway, because Aziz has got the kid. So Harry does this long joke about not being able to fly a jet for ages and then goes off to rescue her alone, which is really disrespectful because her mum could probably help out at this point. Faisal saves the day, which is what I was saying about the button on him with his gun in the camera. Dana takes the nuke key, doesn't even try to deny it. He's like, yeah, I got it. It's like, that's stupid.
Big, big swing for her at this late stage.
Yeah.
Not a lot of evidence
Barely
to suggest
been in it.
She is going to take a terrorist key.
No.
No.
But equally, if she knows that
key is going to unlock this nuclear explosion. Then she doesn't know that her dad is a spy who's coming to rescue her. If she was really a good kid, she would throw herself off that building with the kid.
I thought that quite a lot,
You're going to save a lot of people for the greater good, Dana.
It must at least occur to you.
At least throw the key off.
Oh, yeah.
No, swallow the key and then jump.
It's the key that is going to set off the nuke, not her. So she should just throw the key off.
He can retrieve the key.
I mean, she's only not throwing the key.
She's got to swallow it. She's got to swallow it.
I've swallowed the key and I'm going to throw myself off the building, taking the key with me.
Yep. Yeah.
Just drop the key. No.
But I've thought about it and no. So anyway, this poor child left dangling from this crane and then Harry rescues her and then he's got time for a hand-to-hand fight with Aziz and then fires him as a rocket. On a rocket. Is it a missile or a rocket? What's the difference?
It's a missile.
Is it? What is the difference? Does it not matter?
It doesn't.
All right, fine.
I mean, we can go into it if you really want.
Yeah, go on. Let's hear it.
After the show.
Okay.
Message me. So, obviously, I don't like the line, you're fired, because I'm not a huge fan of these one-liners, right. But I do like watching the, you know, him being fired on off a missile.
Very Doctor Strangelove. And then straight into a chopper full of his men.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, got it done. 1 year later, Boris and Doris are on and then they're at a swanky party. Time to humiliate Simon again, which I think was unnecessary. And they tango.
Can we just establish how we know that family life is all good now? 1, 2, 3, 4.
God.
I declare a thumb war. 5, 6, 7, 8. Try and keep your thumb straight. They're so fucking happy now.
Is this shorthand in America for happy family? A fucking thumb war? Is that all they could come up with?
Yeah. I mean, they're not even having pasta and milk. That's what you say. That is how you signify a happy family.
And the point is, if they are going to have this scene here, he should try to have had a thumb war with her at the beginning and she said no. Yeah. That's the only way that works.
Correct.
Yep. It's ridiculous.
I honestly take a Swiss snow globe over a thumb war with my parents, and like she hated the snow globe at the start. It's just ridiculous.
He asks her about her day at the start of the film, and she just storms off to her room, whatever. And then at the end, she comes running in and tells dad about her day. It's like there's better ways of showing family life is good now than a fucking thumb war. Right. Also, who plays a thumb war with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. But also, there is no 5, 6, 7, 8 in thumb war. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's have a thumb war.
That was the only thing that I took from it. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
They've got another verse.
They've got an extra bit. Yeah, 5, 6, 7, 8, try and keep your thumb straight.
Also, like you say, pasta and milk, or they're eating Chinese out of a box in front of the telly.
Sure.
Fuck's sake, this stuff is easy.
There's a hundred ways. Something about the kid on the motorcycle and how she's like, no, I'm staying in tonight, see ya. Like anything. Just reverse whatever happened at the start. Don't build a thumb war into your script.
Thumb war is awful. You're so right. Anyway, Boris and Doris tango. I noticed that when the camera's pulling away, the camera's kind of saying to us, let's leave them to it. This is their new life. Don't know where their daughter is. Doesn't matter. Let's leave Boris and Doris to do their thing. And they're tangoing. And she does fall over a little bit again. And I wondered if it's because the tango is actually just fucking hard to learn. And so Jamie Lee Curtis has just made a simple mistake. Or if they're leaning into this thing that she's like an imperfect dancer, but that's what makes her so very, very hot.
I thought she intentionally lowered herself. I don't think she
pulls her.
He pulls her along.
That's the tango. You have to be low. But when she goes down to do it, she stumbles a bit.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that because... I don't.
Why would you?
Why would I? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You're not as invested as I am.
No,
I guess.
No, but that's fine. I mean, yeah, sure.
And that's the end of the film. So is that all right?
Well, no.
What?
We got a piss joke. Just because.
Oh,
Got a piss joke from Bill Paxton. I do like Tom Arnold's sign off. I don't want to be in the van anymore. I've spent 15 years in the van.
I like
it's
that.
A nice little button.
Yeah. Yeah. It's his film, really.
And it's amazing we didn't get a sequel.
Well, yeah. It was on and off for so many years.
I remember.
Years.
Yeah, I remember.
So I looked at our podcast Google Doc and I noticed you'd put that there's a TV series of this, which I didn't find out in my research. So do you want to just share that there's a TV series of this?
Starts literally next week.
Does it?
Mm.
And is that
I've not heard anything about it, though.
Weird.
Is it real? Does it exist?
I know.
It's on the Google Doc, so I guess it's real.
That is our Google Doc. That's
it?
Not for public.
It's not the world.
Yeah, there's a TV show and then the sequel... it was after 9/11 happened.
Well, yeah, I read that.
Yeah, you had two problems. You got 9/11 and Cameron said, I don't think I can make terrorists funny anymore.
Ever.
Yeah, it took Jamie Lee Curtis to sort of jump in. I don't know whether we're in the same room, but she sort of goes, they were never funny, but we certainly couldn't do that now.
And obviously Arnold became governor, which then just keeps shifting stuff back and back. Although he went back to Terminator, but not this one.
Okay, so we're done.
And I meant to show you the trailer for this. There's a 2005 film called The Kid and I, which looks like the worst movie ever made. Tom Arnold plays a fictional character based on himself. In that film, the character has starred in True Lies and is pursued by a fan and teams up with Henry Winkler and Linda Hamilton to make a sequel to True Lies.
What?
Yes. And it's funded. It's this kid.
I'm having a fever dream.
Yeah, what's
his dad's
happened?
His dad's a billionaire. This real life
in
kid.
In real life.
Yeah. Right. Dad's a billionaire and said, what do you want to do, son? He said, I want to make a sequel to True Lies. So he hires Tom Arnold. They make the movie with the dad's money, with this kid playing the lead.
No.
And then at the end, they premiere the film and they come out into the foyer and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis are standing there and tell the kid, well done.
Really?
And it's so obvious they're not in the same room. It looks like the worst movie ever made. I'll post the trailer.
So basically,
on the
a rich man was like, what do you want for your birthday, son? He's like, I want the sequel to True Lies.
Yes. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. That's within the movie or that happened in real life? I'm lost.
Both.
Okay.
The movie is about what was happening in real life, yeah.
Okay, so
they
made a real rich
the
kid.
Film. He did it for real,
right.
And they made it the plot of the film.
Wow. Rich people are mad. Yeah. All right, let's do the bits then. So what's your best scene, Alex?
I really struggled with this.
What? Have you seen the dance?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
But I'd feel weird picking that.
Why?
Because
I am.
Sick. Just morally reprehensible.
It did make me feel creeped out and uncomfortable still.
Yes, it was a painful wank, wasn't it? It was a very guilt-ridden wank this time.
I still did, but, you know.
Of course. I just, honestly, because it's Cameron, I was like the master of action. I was looking for an action sequence. Horse in the hotel,
yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
The Harry jump jets are pretty good. But I think for me, it's Bill Paxton in the Chinese restaurant when he's trying to convince Jamie Lee Curtis that he's a spy.
Yeah.
That scene is great.
Okay.
So I'm picking that.
All right. I'm picking the dance because I'm not mad. I'm a hot-blooded person. I'm not. What about you?
Oh, because I'm not a misogynist, I'm going for horse and lift.
Great.
Okay, cool.
Everyone's picked something different.
That's nice.
There's so much to enjoy in this film.
Sorry.
I'm shocked. I thought you were coming to the table with five-star movie. I'm really shocked in a good way.
I agree. Yeah. I'm a little bit surprised. See, it feels like your sort of thing.
Little boys all grown up.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. That's nice. Yep. If it's my sort of thing.
Under the skin the other week, now this.
I know. What's happened to you?
Oh, my God.
Maturing in front of our eyes.
Oh, I think I'm ready. I think I've waited long enough. Right, so your most valuable whatever, Chris.
Okay, I've got two here, but as I think I know which way you're voting, Vicky,
yeah.
I think you'll have that one covered off, so I'm going to go for Bill Paxton. To make me like this bloke is an impossibility, and yet he pulls it off. And yeah, I would love to have seen a sequel where he has to team up with Harry.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, it's Bill Paxton. Or
sorry.
Or someone say it.
The person who actually makes this movie emotional and makes you invested in it and makes you believe in the central conceit, which is this is a married couple who you wish to see succeed at the end. And that is Jamie Lee Curtis, obviously.
Yes, it is. She more than pulls her weight. Like, it's amazing what she does for this film. Mm-hmm. It would be actually quite terrifying. It'd be like James Cameron needs to, like, scotch us off his record without her.
Or maybe Jodie Foster would have been good as me.
I don't want to. That's not right.
Again, it could be this. It could be Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
What would you change then, Chris?
You said it. Vicky, already, but you've got to take your wife on that final mission in the plane. And I think she should even save the day. I know Arnie's ego probably wouldn't allow for that. But the point of this film was them rediscovering each other and becoming a team again. And so for then 30 seconds after they've made that rediscovery, for him to just walk straight past her to go and save his daughter, I think it betrays what's happened before. Just stick her in the plane.
Yeah.
Or at least say bye. Or at least explain where you're going. Like, he doesn't even say, our daughter's in danger. I'm probably going to get in this plane. And she's like, okay, well, you know how to fly a plane. I don't. I might be dead weight. So go and do it. There needs to be at least an exchange there, which establishes why he's leaving her behind.
Yeah, there does.
And she's just like, go and do it, Harry.
Do your thing.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Betrays the character. My change is... So... The reveal where it turns out Harry is a spy and Helen's like, what? And hits him and is like, I can't believe you've lied to me. All the rest of it. I don't think that still establishes that he was the person who scared the shit out of her and psychologically tortured her in that cell.
Yes.
There is no, you can't, I really thought about this because I was like, can you link the two? Is the reveal that he was a spy and then he was in the hotel room, does that track back to she immediately knew that he was the one who tortured her trapped in that two-way room?
No.
And there is no way, there's no logic that allows her to know that, which means we need that circle to be closed off, because I think she's probably going to have something to fucking say about that. And I need it to be like, you did that to me, and let's resolve that now somehow.
Yeah.
I don't care how, but, you know, it feels like, oh, she knows everything. She doesn't.
Yeah, there's one big thing.
She really doesn't know. One of the most damaging moments in her life was perpetrated by her husband, and she still doesn't know at the end of the film.
Yeah.
So that's my change.
When you put it like that. Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
And the dance is creepy.
Mine's very similar. I don't think there is a scene where, when he has the truth serum, I can't remember. She asks him a question that's important to her. But is there a scene where he really, really says sorry for lying loads all the time to her? He doesn't, does he? Like, no, she understands.
It's his job. Yeah. It's his job.
So I need that scene where he says sorry, basically.
I think you're absolutely right, because I think the start of the truth serum scene is like, he says, ask me something that I'd never lie about. And it's like, are we going to die? And he's like, yes.
Yeah.
Funny joke, but that's the moment where you go, let's get some truth here.
Yes, that's what I needed. And then she does that thing, which in some ways you can think, oh, well, you would want to know that. But I can't believe the script. I can't believe James Cameron's gone, this is the thing that she would say in this moment. As I couldn't believe he did it when Helen has spoken her truth and her husband goes, did you sleep with him? She's hearing all this stuff and she knows she's got this window of truth. And she says, have you killed anyone? And it's like, well, that's important, but it's not that important to you. Mm. Is it? Or maybe it is. I don't know. He needs to apologise. And that's it. We're done.
The quiz. No, we're not doing quiz, obviously, as you well know. We're doing the Clash question. The question was, who is your favourite movie character of all time and why? That came from Russell Ball, a.k.a. Bally.
Yep.
And I said, let's narrow it down. So, from a film that we have clashed in the past.
Ugh. Okay.
Do you want to kick us off? Talk about a few, and then maybe if you have one favourite, we can...
Well, you can help me pick the favourite.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So, fully realised characters that you wish you'd written, but that also exist within the confines of a very specific genre, so certain things you can get away with, it would be Sally Albright or Marie, not sure of her last name, in When Harry Met Sally. Like, those two women, I fucking love those women.
Yeah.
And they're not real, because they're in a rom-com, but they're so good in that kind of thing. Then, absolutely bonkers character that is just a bonkers thing. Because the trouble is, when you're trying to pick your favourite character, you're like, oh, it sometimes becomes about the actor. So, like, Al Pacino as the devil, the devil's advocate, obviously I love that.
That's a good show.
But what I'm loving is Al Pacino. Am I necessarily loving that particular version of the
devil? If someone else had played that character, maybe not.
And similarly, Carlito. Man, I love Carlito. But is that because I love Al Pacino with a bin on his head? Maybe. Divorce the actor from the character and try and be really strict with yourself.
Yep.
One of my favourite characters of every film that we've ever done is Eric Draven, a.k.a. The Crow.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah, because that's just brilliant. Like, some sad goth rock star avenging angel.
Yeah.
Bloody love that.
Did, in those sequels, was someone else playing Eric Draven?
Yeah.
It was that French actor, wasn't it? His name escapes me. Were they good?
I've never seen them.
Oh, okay.
I'm so loyal. to the OG. But then, so we come back round and it's like, okay, pick a character that is just brilliantly realised and does very much depend on the actor, but maybe doesn't depend so much on the actor. And it's it's Clarice, may I please use your phone, Starling.
Oh, wow.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
You could go anywhere with that person. Like,
yep. Julianne Moore obviously played her. A lot of people have played her now.
Yeah.
And she was good.
Yeah. So that's me.
Very good.
What about you?
I'm going to chuck some names out there.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you remember these characters.
Go on.
But one I feel like Alex will be a big fan of is Yves Perret. That's who Jack Palance plays in Tango and Cash.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Pretty major character for the history of this podcast.
With the rats.
With the rats.
It's Tango. It's Cash. Aww.
I think we could safely say...
they're also mice. or they're mice. And he's going like a rat in a maze. Mice.
I think we could safely say that is Dave's favourite character ever on the podcast.
What a brilliant film that is.
So in that sort of zone, Brubaker is a big one for me.
Go on.
You don't remember Bruce Brubaker?
No.
Made you quite angry. We watched a whole film about Bruce Brubaker.
Oh, it's the toughest man in the world, yep. Obviously.
Oh, God. Because
he doesn't go over the wall, he runs through it.
I don't know if you've said this, but...
It's incredible.
Why would you go over a wall if you're Bruce Brubaker? You run through the wall.
Okay, yeah.
We should give this man a shout out. So, Hakurma Homolka. He's a pretty great character, yeah. Isn't it? Probably my favourite of his characters of the films we've done on the show.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, they're all good, aren't they? Mr. Miyagi, I think, is an amazing character. Yeah. I love him with all my soul. Judge Smales from Caddyshack is probably my favourite comedy character, although we're getting there. Rocky, I think, is the best character of all time in cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Not picking him. The Dude and Withmail. Love them both. But Ernie McCracken, I'm going for as my favourite character that we've done on the podcast.
Who's Ernie McCracken?
Oh, come on, Kingpin.
Oh,
Bill Murray's character in that. Just for pure, I mean, Potter's the best villain from It's a Wonderful Life. But in terms of pure evil, Ernie McCracken,
yeah.
I just love him.
That's a good shout.
So that is my one, Ernie McCracken. Alex.
It's the Queen Alien from Aliens. And that is it for this show. Let's look ahead to next week.
What's your favourite line?
From Aliens.
That she says, that the Queen Alien says. Very good. Very good.
Yep. He's fast, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
All right, let's look ahead to next week. We are done, sort of, with listener suggestions. Yeah. Although, as Chris said at the start, we've got one Farch special. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, give us the clue.
No, not my turn.
I will.
Thank you.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I'll have a Martin McDouble, please. One with waffles, one with fish.
Okay. I think they might get that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't matter.
Look,
it's quite
hard actually to find a clue that works.
No leg to stand on over here. Spying on my wife.
I've got a huge list of things that connect these two films.
I thought I'd seen it in a message, but I've lost that message. So that's what I came up with.
Excellent. No, it's a lot of fun.
I'm not going to ask you to repeat it because it's too easy. Right then, that is your clue for next week's pairing. Before then, though, we're going to be back on Thursday talking Mr. and Mrs. Smith and revealing the winner of this week's Clash. Until then, have a great week. Bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Why One Question Time is a Stack production.